What's up, y'all? Thanks for tuning in to Fan Culture. We got our 10th episode. Crazy that we're 10 episodes in now. Carl, we got Sakani calling in from New York City. How y'all doing?
I'm great. I'm feeling really good today.
Doing well.
We got a lot to get into on today's episode. Obviously, NBA Finals, you know, Kevin Durant's injury. We'll touch on that. Finally found out that the Raiders are going to be on Hard Knocks. So we know it's going to be a lot of drama moving forward there. I got my Tony Parker jersey on today. Tony Parker announced his retirement, but we'll discuss, you know, who's the best big three of all time in the NBA. Other things to touch on, Rafael Nadal, the U.S. women's soccer team blowing out Thailand. But we'll go ahead and just start with the NBA Finals. What a series so far. I think a lot of people probably thought this series was going to be over in Game 5. We were all in for quite the surprise when KD, you know, joined Game 5. You know, I know there have been some speculation and everything going on there. But first things first, what were you guys' reactions to Game 5?
I was happy. I was very, very happy. You know, going into Game 5, going into the series, I didn't have a prediction. I didn't know who was going to win. There was no team that I was really rooting for. It's honestly been switching. I've really just cared about the storyline of the finals. I've cared about the finals being entertaining. I've cared about it lasting. I just wanted to make sure that I enjoyed it. You know, when the Raptors went up 3-1, I didn't want it to be over that fast. I have no problem with the Toronto Raptors being the 2019 NBA champions. I have no problems with the Warriors being the champions. I just want a good series. So when it was looking like it may end with a 4-1 win for Toronto, I got a little upset. So I sat down and I watched this game rooting for the Golden State Warriors simply because I wanted an extended series. I didn't want it to end game 5 in Toronto and watch Drake celebrate on his home court. I just didn't want to see that. I wanted DeMarcus Cousins to have more of a chance. I wanted him to have a better finals experience. You know, I did want the Golden State Warriors to play well for KD. I wanted Toronto to play well as well. You know, and what I asked for kind of came true. You know, it was a good game. DeMarcus did play well. Steph and Klay got going early. Steph kind of faded a little bit, but Klay still maintained his ability to knock down big shots that kept the game close even when they fell down kind of late. You know, Kawhi had a very, very nice fourth quarter spurt. It was an entertaining game, came down to the wire, literally came down to the last shot. I know Kyle Lowry caught a lot of flack for the shot. I don't think a lot of people noticed initially or immediately that it was blocked.
Yeah,
they just saw a shot go up, go behind the backboard. Oh, Kyle Lowry trash. And yeah, I saw a bunch of memes they with like that was Carlton.
They thought it was playoff Kyle Lowry.
I saw a lot of memes where they were comparing him to Carlton from the Fresh Prince when he airballed and it went literally out the
that
gym.
Shot. Yeah.
Yeah, but no, it was blocked. Draymond has not looked like the best defensive player of all time, but he did make a great defensive play on that last second shot. So I commend him for that. And really, that was my takeaway. I was happy that the Golden State Warriors won so I can have more than 5 games in the finals.
Well, first, I want to apologize for background music. But, I want to say I felt a lot of what Paul was saying. I'm really rooting for Boogie to get a ring. I wanted the Warriors to win because I didn't want the game to... I didn't want the series to end too soon.
Mm-hmm.
And... early on, I was like, okay, KD is rolling. This looks like it's about to be a good game. If KD comes back and is balling, he could possibly get, you know, the MVP of this series. If they went out. So I was like, you know what, I'm liking this. And then when he went down, it was like, oh, damn, I don't know now. But to see the way that the Warriors picked up and they were still able to, as Carl said, hit the big shots when they needed to. And it was a good game. That's what I would love to see every game. Obviously without the injury, but
true.
Yeah.
It was definitely a very good game. The way that the Warriors came out and they couldn't miss a shot. I think they made 6 straight threes in a row.
Yeah, I was KD like, hit his first three.
Yeah. Klay, I think, hit his first couple. Steph hit his first couple. I was like, man, it's just going to be that kind of night. I figured they were going to be on track to hit, you know, 20 to 25 threes. And when they do that, you can't beat them. You really can't beat them. So I anticipated that happening. Obviously, KD going down was a game changer, and we'll touch on that a little later. The Warriors, I think, were so dejected in the moment. And then at the same time, you saw them, especially late in the second half, they were just gassed. Mm-hmm. They were completely gassed. Carl, like you said, Kawhi did get hot late. He finally got his rhythm because Kawhi had a bad game. Pascal Siakam had a bad game.
Overall, yes.
Yeah, yet they still found themselves in a position to win the game. Mm-hmm. So when Kawhi kind of went on that run by himself, I didn't like when Nick Nurse called that timeout with 3 minutes left. The reason being, well, two reasons really. Kawhi, your best player, finally caught his rhythm. Let him keep it rolling. And second, the Warriors are gassed. I don't want Steph or Klay to get a chance to get their legs at all. Mm-mm. You called a timeout. You know, you had the reviews kind of going in as well, where they were reviewing that goaltend, and then they also reviewed DeMarcus Cousins' basket interference. So they review both of those. It's just more time for the Warriors to catch their rhythm, you know, and start to just relax a little bit. That timeout obviously aided in that. And look, right after that, I think Steph made either one or two threes. Klay made a three or two.
Steph made one and Klay made two.
I knew it was one of those. So they finished the game on a 9-2 run, and the only reason they got those 2 points was because of that goaltend by DeMarcus Cousins.
Right.
So that's how the game ends. You know, and it's unfortunate because the Raptors found themselves in a position to win that game, and you can make the argument that that timeout made a difference. Maybe not the difference, but it made a difference.
Definitely.
So it's unfortunate it ended that way, but the series gets extended, you know, so we are a little bit happy about that. More basketball, more things to break down.
Right. You know, I definitely thank Nick Nurse for his coaching mistake of ruining his own team's momentum.
Yeah.
Got me what I wanted.
He's a great coach, and we forget that he's a rookie coach.
No, honestly.
Head coach, I should say.
I think a lot of people look past that. Like, majority of the time when they talk, or at least just for me, my own circles, majority of the time when Nick Nurse is brought up, it's either in memes with like it was like a Little Rascals one. what was the little kids? The little white one and the little black one. It was Buckwheat and...
I just forgot the name of the other one.
I don't know. Whichever one. But yeah, like that there. You know, people were bringing up his names, basically saying that he made a mistake by doing that after the game. But no, he definitely has not received as much credit as he deserves. When you look at what the Toronto Raptors did this past offseason, you fire a head coach that got you the most wins that you've ever had in your franchise history. You trade your franchise player, and you bring in first-time Raptor Kawhi Leonard to lead your team. You bring in first-time head coach, and you're in the finals in a position to win your first championship in franchise history. I don't think Nick Nurse has received as much credit as he deserved. A lot of people talk about Ty Lue, the coaching job he did in Cleveland, winning that championship. Was that 2016?
Yeah.
I definitely give Nick Nurse far more credit than I would give Ty Lue. You know, I don't think he's been discussed as much as he should be this year. But, I mean, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about in past episodes. I hate to keep reminiscing on or bringing it up. But with Giannis.
That's a plug to watch older episodes. So we appreciate that.
But with Giannis and how I felt like Mike Budenholzer wasn't getting enough credit for his elevation this past season. No season prior to this have we looked at him like an MVP candidate, especially like we did this year. And with that being his first season, you look at what that team did in a regular season, even going as far as they did the postseason. I think Nick Nurse deserves a lot of credit for what he did for Toronto. Yes, they finished number one in the East last year, but their postseason performance was very disappointing. And if Kyrie Irving never got hurt last year, we don't know if they finished number one.
That's real.
Not that you say that the Raptors don't have trust in their coach, but I would wonder if, you know, that sort of momentum shift would possibly affect the team's morale in a way that they might, you know, question his decision making in certain points of the game.
I mean, I think he's on one of those hot streaks where he's gotten practically every call right. He's made the right decision in almost any moment in almost any game so far in these playoffs. You know, but it just sucks that this one could potentially be the most costly. You know, the one of the few that you make could cost you the entire series.
Yeah. Cause potentially. If they go to a game seven, if they possibly lose, you have to look at game five first and then six and then seven and see where you went wrong. And that timeout has to be reviewed. It has to be mentioned.
Yeah, but hopefully it doesn't get to that point. Hopefully they close it out in one of these two.
Hopefully they talked it out.
Yeah, funny because you even look at Kawhi's face, you know, one who doesn't show much reaction. Even when that timeout was called, he kind of like looked and was like, timeout? Why? Like, I just scored 10 points. Like, I've got 20 in the game. You know what I mean? Like,
are you sure?
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Can we take that back?
Yeah, that would have been one of those, like, yo, I wasn't calling timeout. I was doing this, you know.
I was scratching my palm.
Yeah.
You know, it has nothing to do with nothing. But I remember I was younger, and I was playing football for my uncle, and we had a run play called bend.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why would he create a hand signal for bend that was so similar to timeout? I don't know, but he would literally bend his hand and point it in his opposing palm, like he's
like
calling timeout.
Tea.
Right, right. And he was just calling the play, but they used up one of our timeouts and kind of messed us up. But he was, I was calling a play. How am I supposed to know that? I mean, it looks like timeout.
Obviously, the biggest takeaway from game five, Kevin Durant's injury. Do you mind if I go on a mini rant real quick?
Go ahead, brother.
Okay.
Go on in.
I've got issues with the Golden State Warriors, obviously, because everyone thought it was an Achilles injury from the jump. You know, we all knew of that issue. You could see him on video. He's icing his Achilles, you know, in the tunnel, you know, as the players come out. How it ends up being, no, he's cleared to return from a calf strain, I don't know. And I'm not even going to really go down that route. The biggest takeaway for me was the Raptors fans cheering, you know, when Kevin Durant's injured. Mind you, this is probably one of the top two greatest players in the league. You know, him playing just does wonders for the NBA as a whole. The fact that you would be cheering when someone, you know, is hurt. And mind you, we don't know the severity of the injury at this point. So we don't know. Maybe it's just a strain. Maybe it's a rupture. Everyone kind of thought it was a rupture. It looked almost exactly like how the first one did. Just he wasn't getting up this time. He wasn't going to be able to even walk it off. So the fact that you would be cheering at someone's demise like that, someone that's done so much for the league, I understand you're pursuing your first championship of all time, but that's just bush league. You know what I mean? That's just completely unacceptable. And because of that, I know I picked the Raptors to win in six without KD and seven if KD plays. I was so offended by that. I want the Warriors to win. I think the Raptors fans don't deserve a championship because of that. It's just completely unruly, completely unfair, and they don't deserve it. My perception of them has changed based on that reaction. You know, basically you've shown that you're willing to win at any and all costs. You know, you don't care if, you know, players get hurt. You don't care about their well-being. You know, these people are human beings. You know, Boogie kind of said the same thing, like, you know, we're entertainers or we're just athletes in your eyes, but like when we do human things, y'all have a problem with it. Like, they are human. So I just got a huge issue with that, and I now want the Warriors to win instead of the Raptors. I don't care about my prediction anymore.
The last person that's going to debate or argue against anything you just said is a person speaking right now. I said it earlier that I wouldn't mind if Toronto wins. And when I said that, I was literally speaking about the players because I do like Kawhi Leonard. I do like Pascal Siakam. I've always, liked Kyle Lowry for what he was. Never thought he was a superstar. Never thought he was great, but I liked him. You know, I like Marc Gasol. I just, you know, Van Vliet. I just like their team. So I wouldn't mind to see them hoist a championship trophy. I would mind to see those fans cheer and rave and rant about their team winning because of what they cheered for during that game. It's just inhuman. I don't even laugh when people fall. First thing I think is, damn, how hurt are you? For me, it's just, it's not funny when somebody's hurt. It's not funny when somebody's injured. This is this man's career. That's literally his job. He's paid to do that. I don't know what anybody in those stands do, but if you're hurt to where you can't work, regardless whether you're being paid or not, like, you got hurt. Dang, dog, you all right? That's just me. And I just don't like the fact that there's somebody out there in the world that really would respond any different than what I would, because I just don't feel like that's okay. Like, I literally saw a man point at Kevin Durant when he dropped to the ground and cheer as if that was a win for them. You have three chances to beat the Golden State Warriors with or without Kevin Durant on the floor. You have three chances to win. If your team cannot win, then they're just not supposed to win. So to cheer for somebody because they're hurt, because you feel like, oh, well, now we have a better chance, I still don't like it. I understand what you're happy about, but the reason why you're happy, if you get a report that Kevin Durant is not playing for game five, okay, good. We gonna close it out tonight. I'm happy we are going to be crowned champions tonight. Let me put my champagne on ice very, very early before the game even start. I got mine on ice and I'm gonna pop it out the house. Got my Bel Air ready or whatever.
Just don't do like the Spurs did, because they had it roped off.
true. But yeah, when you cheer because the player is injured right in front of you, that's absolutely ridiculous. I applaud Kyle Lowry. I applaud Serge Ibaka. I applaud, I believe it was Pascal Siakam.
I think Danny Green too.
Green. I'm sorry. Yes, it wasn't Siakam. It was Danny Green. I applaud Danny Green, those three specifically, for at least attempting to quiet down their fans, because it appeared that they were even displeased with that. And I'm glad that they displayed that. At that moment, physically, I'm, you know, trying to calm everybody down, waving their arms, telling them not to, because, you know, checking on him, walking with him. You know, Serge Ibaka was guarding him on the play where he planted and hurt his Achilles, you know, him walking over and checking on him. They showed every reason why I respect the Toronto Raptors players. They showed me why I am fans of them as basketball players. I no longer like their fans because I just don't feel like that was classy at all. I don't care how much you pay for a seat. I don't care how long you've been a fan. I don't care how long it's been or whether you have or have not won a championship. You don't cheer for something like that. And if that's your, in the words of Max Kellerman, your honest response, that just shows me what type of individual you are on the inside. And I'm sorry, I don't like you.
I don't know if I have much more I can add to that, really. I mean, y'all have said it all, but yeah, It was shocking. I was like really shocked when I heard it. It was like, wait, are they really cheering? And I was just like, wow, what type, like, I couldn't imagine being in that type of arena or being like part of a crowd like that. That's just not anything that I've ever experienced or would want to experience. Just being someone who can, like, call me, being someone who doesn't want to see people injured. You know, being someone who cares about other people's well-being, I don't like doing that. Hearing cheering during stuff like that is disheartening.
And we posted, you know, the poll question, you know, on our Instagram, you know, on Facebook and stuff as well. And I posted on my personal Instagram. You know, some people were cool with it. They were like, well, that's part of the game. You know, no big deal. You know, someone trying to kind of make an excuse a little bit, seem like, well, were they cheering for something else? Nah, the cheers like erupted once KD got up and he noticeably had that limp, and you could tell, yo, that's his Achilles, the same leg and everything. They're cheering at the injury. It's not anything else.
Right. Immediately, it was a cheer for the injury. It's one thing to hear that Kevin Durant is playing now. It's another thing to see him hit his first three three-pointers. Two of them being toughly contested, and you still drain them. It got you worried. Yeah. And when you see him go down, I understand your train of thought. in regards to you now feeling like you have a better chance to win. I do not understand the happiness that came with his pain. That correlation, I don't get. There's nothing that anybody in that arena could say to me to make me feel like, all right, I get it. It wasn't that big of a deal. No, that was bad. Yeah. Anybody who cheered for that man getting hurt and possibly messing up his basketball career, you never know how someone will come back from that type of an injury. You think about the type of player Kevin Durant was prior. You think about the type of game he was having that night. You think about the fact that he possibly shouldn't have played. Him getting hurt honestly kind of eliminates possibly. He shouldn't have played. And this is the same guy that we talk about, oh, well, he needs to go to a new team. That way he can establish himself as a champion and not just as somebody who jumped on the bandwagon of a championship team and then caught two while in the car. He went out and tried to play a basketball game that he didn't have to play, that he should not have played for that same team, risking everything that he had going forward. And he might have messed up everything. That's first thing. Honestly, the first thing that popped in my mind as soon as I saw him go down. How does this affect next season?
People forget that KD has had multiple surgeries, mm-hmm. especially on his lower extremities, being, you know, 7 feet tall. How most, you know, bigger people do. They get those lower extremity injuries. I think he had the Jones fracture in his foot where he needed 3 different surgeries. Mm-hmm. He hasn't had a knee before. But he's had a couple other lower leg injuries, not at anywhere close to the severity of this. But think back in history. Think of some of the past 2 players I can think of that have torn an Achilles tendon in the game of basketball, being Boogie on the court right now. Kobe. We still don't know if Boogie's going to be back to...
No, not 27 and 13. We don't know if he can be
He may
back.
Never be that again.
Right.
Obviously, you know, you mentioned Kobe. Kobe, mind you, was older, but Kobe was still playing at a high level at that point. Mm-hmm. Kobe came back from that and was never the same, and that was more than just age and attrition that affected that. And kind of going back to, like I mentioned, the Raptors fans are kind of just desperate for a championship, and I think that's where some of the motivation comes, because I actually went back. Do you remember the 2014 NBA Finals? That's where the Spurs beat the Heat 4-1. Game 1, late in the fourth quarter, LeBron had to leave the game for cramping.
Right.
I went back and watched that video. There weren't any just hellacious cheers, and that's when LeBron was peak LeBron,
right?
By far best player in the world. There was none of that, but that's coming from a championship organization, championship fans, mm-hmm. been there, done that. Hey, we want to win the game. We want to beat the best. We want to prove to the Heat we beat you this year because we're better than you. And right. You would think that the Raptors fans, with the 3-1 lead, when Kevin Durant comes back, oh, we just got to beat you once. And we could be like, see, it don't even matter. It don't matter if you play or not.
We're
better
than you. I don't
care if
you play the last 3 games. You're not supposed to beat us all 3 times.
Yeah, and I was cool with them, you know, like in pregame, when he came out for a shoot around, they booed him. When he walked on the court, he was making shots. When he missed a shot, they cheer. I'm cool with that. That's a part of the game. That's a mm-hmm. part of just being a fan. But
yeah, not
this
injuries.
Was just, that's not part of the game. That's not part of being a fan.
No, getting injured is a part of the game because it's a physical sport and things happen.
Yeah.
Cheering for someone's injury, that's never been a part of the game. I don't know what sport, what franchise, what player, what historic moment may have popped in someone else's mind, but that's never been a part of the game.
Yeah.
No.
There's only a few instances in history that I can think of, and typically they've involved just very heated rivalries. I think Michael Irvin's injury, I think his head like hit the turf or something like that, and like Eagles fans were cheering. You know what I mean?
Even though
that's ugly, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a head injury. You don't tell him what he could have paralyzed.
Died.
Yeah,
exactly.
Died, anything.
Exactly. So I'm never with it, regardless of the situation. But prayers up for KD. I know he announced on Instagram today that it was a ruptured Achilles and he had surgery. It was successful. That could change the scope of the league for a long time. And he could even return to Golden State now.
Honestly,
I think that's a possibility. Very realistic.
I said this. I think he should. If he cannot, because a lot of times this does happen. A lot of people talk about people forfeiting money when it comes to not re-signing with their team, or, you know, getting a 4-year deal versus a 5-year deal. Whatever deal Kevin Durant could have gotten next year, if that first year did not pay him more than $31 million, I don't see the point in opting out. I honestly don't get it. You get a five-year deal, you play 4 years, you get a player option for an amount of money that's more than any year that you've had prior to that contract, and you opt out, and then you re-sign, and the first year that new deal pays you less than the year you just opted out of. If he cannot make more than $31 million less next year, and this is an if, I think he should opt in, rehab with the Golden State Warriors all year. Just rehab and just sit the year out, get your Achilles right, get your $31
million. No pressure.
No pressure.
Just come back when you're actually ready.
Come back the fall, and then that way your contract is fully completed and you're a free agent, really. And I mean, you can't play for New York next year anyways. Can't play for Brooklyn, can't play for the Clippers, can't play for whoever else you would go to. And I think that would also be best for Kevin Durant, because we don't know what's going to happen with this NBA upcoming free agency. There's a possibility that Jimmy Butler can stay in Philly. I heard Philly is thinking about re-signing Tobias Harris as well, but then Tobias Harris is not the type of player that Kevin Durant follows anywhere. But if Jimmy Butler stays, if Kemba Walker stays, if Kawhi Leonard stays, you know, Kyrie, it's looking like Brooklyn. Even if Anthony Davis goes to the Lakers, Kevin Durant, you don't sign with the Lakers. That's same thing as you signing with the Warriors, you know, a couple years ago. I don't know where Kevin Durant goes in that situation. Do you go to the Clippers by yourself? Do you really feel like you and Pat Beverly and Danilo Gallinari and Shamit and these other young guys can really win a championship?
That's another thing to think about as well, because if he does go to one of those other teams, let's say he does go to the Knicks or he goes to the Clippers, you know he's going to be gone all year next season.
Right.
So how can you necessarily build a team around him? And this is a better free agent class this year than next year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, why would you sign him and then say, well, we're going to build around him next year and then start to go get pieces? They're not going to be the same quality or same caliber of pieces. So, yeah, I mean, it can change a lot in the NBA. Sakani, you got any thoughts? Quickly, game six obviously is tomorrow. By the time you guys listen to this, it'll probably be Thursday. What are you guys' picks? Do the Raptors close it out? This would be their third win in the finals in Oracle, last game in Oracle ever. Does that make any difference? Do the Warriors pull that off, or do the Raptors finally seal the deal?
This is why I don't like making predictions, because I want the Golden State Warriors to win game six, let it go to game seven, do or die, whatever happens, happens. I want a game seven. I don't care who wins, I just want a game seven. But I feel like if I predict that, they're going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
I just, I know my betting history,
mm-hmm.
and it's not favorable.
Oh, you're like Stephen A. in the finals.
Oh, basically. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to predict that the Toronto Raptors do win.
So now you're Skip Bayless, where he doesn't want to jinx it. So he goes with the pick that he doesn't really want.
I am Drake. I am putting my curse on the opposing team. I am Drake in this situation. I am predicting that the Golden State Warriors win. I'm sorry, that the Toronto Raptors win in Golden State 114-109. And they win the championship 4-2.
Sakani, what do you think?
I honestly just don't want them to win.
I really want Golden State to have their home crowd to have one last win in Oracle. So I want a game six win, but will that happen? I think the Warriors really are tired. Same way people have been talking about how LeBron has been tired these past few years. Like, the Warriors are just as tired. And they have, I mean, 5 years in, their bodies are taking a toll, and this Toronto team is physical, and it's been a it's been a tough series on their bodies, and just the playoffs, we've seen it. I'm hoping they're able to hold up for one more game, because I would like to see game seven. I would like to see the Warriors win it, and yeah, that's my take on it. But yeah, I think game six tomorrow is going to be a Warriors win, because I want it to be that. But I think that home crowd is going to add some intensity as well.
Yeah, they better. They have no choice but to show up now. So my prediction is on track to be right, because I did say Raptors in six if KD didn't play, and KD has only played for 12 minutes in this series. But I want it to be wrong. So go Warriors, force a game seven, please. Go win a championship on Toronto's home floor, because I want to see those fans' faces after they've blown a 3-1 lead.
I want them to cry.
I want to see the exact fan that was waving goodbye to Kevin Durant when he got hurt. I want to see... Yeah. I just want to see all that. I'm not tripping off of Drake face. Because, you know, Drake was actually hurt by it. So for him, I'll feel a little bad. But everyone else, I want to see the looks on their faces. That would be epic for me. So go Warriors. Please force a game seven. Yeah. Please come back from a 3-1 deficit and pull it off. You guys will solidify yourself as one of the greatest dynasties of all time. So please make that happen. Tony Parker announced his retirement this week. I got my Tony Parker jersey on right now just to commemorate him. This brings that, you know, San Antonio Big Three to an official end. All three of them are no longer playing in the league. That got me thinking today, who is the best Big Three in NBA history?
Man, well, first thing I want to do is also commemorate, you know, Tony Parker on his great career. You know, I appreciate him as a basketball player. I don't like him as a person. Because of what he did to that, was it Brent Berry or Rick? I think it was Brent. I don't like what he did to Brent. He's a slime ball for that. But as a basketball player, you know, I appreciate him.
Yeah. And I don't like how he
called out Kawhi. Can you speak on what he did to Brent Berry?
He cheated with Brent Berry. He cheated on Eva Longoria with Brent Berry's wife, and both of them got a divorce, both couples. To answer the question, my favorite what was the exact question?
Just who's the best Big Three?
The best Big Three of all time. That is a very hard question to answer for me, because I think way too much and I just analyze things too much. Shut up. I mean, because I have like my favorite Big Three of all time.
Yeah.
I do have who I think is the most like talented Big Three of all time, but then you have like the best defensive, best offensive.
So how about this? Tell us who's your favorite, and then tell us who you think is just the best.
My favorite Big Three of all time is Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen. I've never seen a Big Three where I just liked the individual players more than I liked those three.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there are other Big Threes, you know, Golden State Warriors, whether you want to do Klay, Steph, Kevin, Klay, Steph, Draymond.
Right.
You know, of course, you got the Bulls with Jordan, Pippen, Rodman, or whoever else you want to put.
Depending on what three-peat
you're Right. You know, wherever time period you want to go, of course, with the Lakers, you had your Kareem, your Magic, James Worthy.
Yeah.
Spurs got one. Boston had another one. You know, years prior, Bird, Parrish, McHale. But that Big Three... That was my favorite.
Mm.
That was my favorite. Talent-wise, those were my favorite three individual players. That was my favorite Big Three to watch. The way that 2008 Boston team was just amazing. Just watching them play basketball really made me love that sport from a different standpoint. It was just like poetic. The way that they played, like that was just some of the best basketball that I've ever seen in my life. That would be my favorite. If I'm answering the question of who is the best, just from a talent standpoint, I think the Lakers of a Magic, Kareem, and Worthy, if we kind of do something where we're like, or for me, what I'm kind of doing is maybe averaging out the rankings of those players. So kind of just going like talent-wise, I think Kareem, Magic, and Worthy may average out to be a higher ranking than any other big three. So I would say that that three right there might be the best big three, but my favorite was definitely Boston. And yeah, I gotta, that's where I'm gonna leave that.
I was thinking you're gonna come with like the Kings big three, you know, if you want to do like Bibby, Peja, Chris Webber.
I feel like that would just be a little too expected and a little too biased. But even then, yeah. I mean, but I
just
did love
them. Favorite, one,
yeah. I mean,
one of your favorites.
Of course, I love them because I'm a Sacramento Kings fan. But even just to be honest, because I mean, they fall under that same standard. We're just watching them was a little different. But I think the age difference for myself, you know, when they were together, when the Kings were at their height, and they did have the Webber, the Peja, the Bibby, I was just at a, you know, such a young age, I just didn't understand basketball. And I didn't watch it as much as I did, you know, back in 2008 either. You know, I'm 16, 17 years old versus, you know, maybe 9 or 10. So for me, it was just a little different. But yeah, that big three in Boston would be my favorite. But I'd say the Lakers were the best.
Ooh, that's a tough one for me. Vic Fox, Derek Fisher, and Shaq.
Boy.
I thought you were going to say Samaki Walker.
I remember Samaki Walker.
Yeah.
Boy had Jay. I remember on NBA Live 2003. He had the three-point circle next to his name. So you know, you knew he could shoot. My favorite big three. I might have to go with the Spurs just because they sustained their longevity for such a long time. I appreciate watching greatness like that. Same way I appreciate the Patriots. I don't like them, but that's not often that you're going to be able to say you can witness something like this and for the duration in which you have. Tim Duncan to have won a title in three different decades is pretty amazing, in my opinion. And yeah, I'm going to go with the Spurs.
Yeah, this was tough for me, you know, because there are a lot of great big threes. You know, we didn't even mention
Miami.
We didn't mention Miami's big three.
Cleveland.
Cleveland. We obviously didn't mention Boston. Boston's one of the top three all time. Not 08 Boston, but, you know, Bird, McHale, and Parrish, right. You know, being one of the best big threes of all time. I'm going to go with the Showtime Lakers big three. Being the best of all time, you know, best scorer or one of the best scorers of all time, best point guard of all time, James Worthy. If you didn't watch him, or if you never gone back and really like studied the game, you don't know how great James Worthy was.
Number
like,
one overall pick for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, college champion with Michael Jordan at UNC for a reason. James Worthy was nice.
Yeah. No, they were very nice. They won their chips. They play, you know, the Celtics big three being one of the best, you know, teams of all time, you know, being in that conversation. But not far behind, I'm with Sakani. I put the Spurs due to that longevity and the fact that they were winning championships during a period where some of the greatest teams, some of the greatest players in NBA history were playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they won during the time that, you know, Kobe and the Lakers had their dominance. You
right.
know, that's when they won in 03.
True.
05, they knocked down the Pistons when the Pistons were on a run.
Yes.
You know, 07, yeah, they beat LeBron, but LeBron was young, so I'm not tripping off
hey
of that.
Man,
but
they made it.
Yeah.
You got to beat
right. But then LeBron, peak LeBron, greatest player in the world, LeBron, probably the best version of LeBron we've ever seen,
mm-hmm.
they beat that team 4-1 by yes. the biggest, you know, margin in finals history. So kind of like Sakani said, just that longevity and the fact that they've done it against probably some of the highest competition. I mean, think about the players that were in the league from 2003 to, you know, 2014. You know, you mentioned the Celtics big three as well. Mm. I would have loved to see them play that Celtics team.
Yeah.
That would have been nice. Dope. That would have been probably one of the sneakiest, like, best finals ever. You know what I mean? That would have been some great basketball. So I wish. Sucks that we got robbed of that, but
true. Got robbed know. Of a Kobe LeBron finals.
Yeah. And that's gonna be another episode we'll have to do as well. Like some craziest like what if scenarios, things that we just missed out on that.
Yeah, like a know, prime
history
Pacquiao
did us dirty.
Floyd fight.
Exactly. Like history did us dirty for some reason. But yeah, no, I gotta give the nod to the Showtime Lakers big three. But yeah, not far behind Spurs big three, just because of everything that they've done. It's pretty wild. But I think we mentioned pretty much all the honorable mentions, being Miami's big three, Golden State's big three, however you want to slice it.
Right, two different versions of that. That's why it was kind of hard for me to settle on it or how I was going to answer the question, because Chicago's big three of Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman, that's definitely the best defensive big three I've ever seen. And then with a Klay, Steph, KD, that's definitely the best offensively skilled big three. So it was kind of hard for me to put that together, but it's so many different.
So we found out that the Oakland Raiders, soon to be the Las Vegas Raiders, will be on Hard Knocks this year. Do you guys usually watch Hard Knocks each season or some of the seasons? No?
I've seen some stuff. Not religiously. Like, I don't watch every single episode, but I've seen some things, yes. I do like it. I do think that it does add something. It helps bring some hype to the upcoming season. Gives you some insight on what these players actually go through. I wouldn't mind seeing something similar for the NBA. I think it would be better if it were more than one team.
Yeah.
If you possibly switched it, maybe did an episode per team, or you kind of went back and forth where you saw what was going on with this team this day, this team that day. I would prefer that more than the focus on one team, and that's one of the reasons why I haven't watched it religiously. Because I'm just not interested.
It's one major storyline for one team.
Right, that I'm not a fan of. So I love football, so I'll pay attention to some things, but if it's not the Rams, then who cares?
I think that this is the one team that everyone wanted to see.
Now, this one is a little different. Hard Knocks itself, you know, can be hit or miss depending on the franchise. This one's going to be a little different. You think about what John Gruden is as a firecracker, just as a head coach. You just brought in Antonio Brown, which is definitely going to add some color, you know, to that black and silver locker room. You know, I definitely want to see what that conversation is going to be like. Those office meetings, those office conversations, simply between those two. How does that work? How does Antonio Brown approach John Gruden, saying, I don't like this, I don't like that, I need the ball here, you need to have me do this, as opposed to what you're doing? Derek Carr, I want to see how he approaches that team.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see. Even Mike Mayock as the new GM, right. Obviously we know him from the NFL Network, but how is he in a managerial role where he's actually, you know, he's been talking about these players, but he's actually now making decisions on what these players do.
Yeah.
Under the radar players as well, Vontaze Burfict is with the Raiders. We know he's a hot hit. So I'm expecting at least four training camp fights, at least.
Oh, man.
Richie Incognito on the other end.
Yeah. I think he was out of the league last year.
Yeah, I'm expecting a couple N-words out of him. But no, I mean, I could see him and Burfict, you know, getting into back and forth, or, you know, I don't know. It's going to be very, very interesting to see. My pick was going to be either the Raiders or the Browns. I know the Browns did it last year, but to see Baker again, to see Odell, see Jarvis Landry, you know, that whole dynamic would be cool. But I think the Raiders, this is the one that America deserves. America wants to see this one. So,
oh, more than the Cowboys?
Oh, yeah. To me, the Cowboys would honestly be pretty bland. It'd be pretty boring when you really think about it.
It was a joke. You get America's favorite team.
Well, they're not America's team. Let's be real about that. Cowboys fan out there, you're not America's team.
I never understood why. I was told about the history of it, or I've, you know, heard about the history of it. I think it has something to do with their stadium. The big opening, they say it was a statement made. I can't remember if it was by the owner or whom made the statement. You know, God's watching us, we're America's team. Something like that. So, yeah, so I do recall that. But, I mean, for me, it was just like, I mean, you have a team called the Patriots. I don't know why they didn't get that moniker.
Yeah, but, that win a lot of Super Bowls.
I guess. I feel like that should be revisited. America's favorite team. I think we should vote.
Yeah, on what is America's team?
Yeah, I think the same way we vote for a president, we should. I think that all all NFL fans, I think we should have the ability to go onto a website, NFL.com, cast a vote for who we feel should be America's favorite team. Whoever wins, wins. Because I don't feel like you should be able to tell me who America's team is if I'm an American.
But do you get, like an election? Do you get, like, certain, like, delegate votes if you win a state?
Nope.
No? It's just straight up votes.
Just fan votes. And whoever wins, wins. I mean,
the Cowboys are going to be up there, which is annoying.
Yeah, but
they don't deserve it, though.
Whoever wins, wins. It's one winner. There is no, oh, well, if this team loses, then this team. No. This team will be America's team. And I don't care.
I feel like it's got to be on, like, a curve. Like, why? Team success has to have some sort of weight.
No.
Just a little bit. Like,
As 15%. Americans, we should simply be able to decide who our team is. And it's just that simple. If it's the Browns, it's the Browns. That's who we picked as the people. If it's Miami, if it's Tampa, if it's Dallas again, if it's New England, LA, whether it's Chargers, whoever we elect, whoever has the most votes, we'll do the players and the coaches, whatever. Anybody can vote. You go in, you vote. No one vote weighs more than the other. Whoever gets the most votes, that's America's new favorite team.
We as Americans are such bandwagoners, though. So for now, it's the Patriots. If the Cowboys win next year, it's the Cowboys.
No, we do one vote, and that's it.
Just one vote for
one vote
per season, or just one vote period?
One vote period. Who's been America's team over the last 20 years?
Well,
we've been told it's the Cowboys. I feel like we should make one official vote, and that's just going to be our team.
For life.
For life. That's America's favorite team. That's who they voted as a favorite team back in 2020, so that's the favorite team.
Well, Sakani, you're a Cowboys fan. Well, what do you think about this America's team poll?
I mean, hey, I really don't care. It really doesn't hold much weight to me.
Because you guys are America's team, that's why you don't care?
No, if the same way the Lakers are considered, you know, one of the best dynasties or best franchises of all time, my Bulls aren't that. No, but I mean, like, I don't care about labels or titles. It doesn't matter to me.
Do championships?
That's the only thing. Like, the Lakers, how many do they have? 17?
Yeah.
17. Boston, 10 18. Either way, my team isn't there. My team isn't there.
No, but
I don't care.
No, but we weren't told, the Lakers are America's favorite basketball team. It was just, they're the most historic franchises of all time. You know, if somebody was to...
Dallas isn't called America's favorite team. They're called America's team.
Same thing.
And so, No, it's not. No, it's a title. It's just like there's an American Football Conference and the National. It's like, it's just a title.
Bro, we're getting...
It doesn't mean anything.
Regardless, the only thing you did was take away the word favorite. You're America's team, but says who? I know who our president is, and I know how he became our president. What I'm saying is, this is America's favorite team, America's team, whatever. They're America's team because somebody said they were the team, but America literally didn't say that. Nobody's saying the Lakers are America's basketball franchise. It's just they're one of the most historic, along with the Knicks, because of how long they've been around and the popularity of New York. Boston, simply because of their winning success. But with the Dallas Cowboys, if somebody were to make that statement about the Cowboys are one of the most historic football franchises in NFL history. I ain't got no problem with that, because they are. Dallas Cowboys, the San Francisco 49ers, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they are. But when you say they're America's team, why? Who said that? Those are two different things.
Okay, so listen. I'm not sure where you heard the whole quote about the owner. I haven't heard that story before. But I know I have heard that in the 70s, the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders were the most popular cheerleaders. And because of that, around the nation, everybody knew who the Dallas Cowboys were. And so that popularized them and made them America's team, because everybody wanted to watch the Dallas Cowboys.
I watched
That's why they became America's team.
I can't remember if it was ESPN or the NFL Network, but I know I was watching something on television about the Dallas Cowboys, and it was some statement made about God watching the Dallas Cowboys play through the opening of their stadium because they were America's team. Some quote somebody said. I can't remember exactly who it was, but I heard it probably like 2 years ago. And that was the first time I've ever heard of how that even came to be. But I don't agree with it. I don't like it. Because I feel like I should have had some say-so in it as an American.
So you just want a Democratic vote to figure out who is America's team.
Yeah. I mean, this ain't, I mean, are we not in a democracy?
That happened without you. But it happened without you. So why does it matter whether
because
or not you were part of it?
Because of how it happened. If it was a vote back then okay. For some reason, there was a vote and that's what happened. But there was no vote.
But why does it matter?
Because of what I just said. It's America. America's team. That's their title.
I think they just give them the moniker of America's team because kind of like Sakani said, in the 70s, it was, hey,
it just stuck.
Who wasn't like watching the Dallas Cowboys? It was all about the Dallas Cowboys. You weren't alive in the 70s.
I wasn't watching.
But it's kind of the same way now.
The Cowboys
haven't had championship relevance for the majority of the past 20 years.
But everybody knows
the most they're still the most talked about franchise. They're still the most valuable franchise. So
we don't really talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers losing all the time. But we always talk about the Dallas Cowboys losing all the time.
Whether they're 4-12 or 12-4, the Cowboys are being talked about, which is annoying.
Well, yeah, I mean, you definitely have an owner in Jerry Jones that keeps you in the media. In terms of football, it's Texas. So that is one of the biggest football states, if not the biggest football state.
Why aren't the Houston Texans up there? They have more success
over the
past 5 years.
They're an expansion. They're an expansion team.
Two, I don't even know who their owner is, and he's not as vocal.
You don't know Alex Schreiber?
He was vocal before he passed away. Bob McNair.
I know the name. I just told you that.
Yeah, well, he was the one that had the statements about the inmates running the asylum. And it was a big old deal.
I did hear that.
He was vocal. You heard him.
Yeah, I didn't know.
How many quotes you got for Jerry Jones?
We're the Cowboys. You know, that's all he says. How about them Cowboys? You know,
how about them?
That's it. Exactly. How about them? Nothing.
That's when we're going to have America's team, America should decide who their team is. And we shouldn't be told.
That's but that was decided in the 70s, is what we're saying.
It wasn't necessarily decided. It was stated. There's a difference.
He is the only person that didn't have a say. Therefore, we need to have a vote amongst all of them.
No. I never said I. Because honestly, I might not even do it. I didn't even vote for Obama.
So you don't want to say? You want everyone else to have a say, though.
It would be nice if the option was given. To decide who America's team was. That's all I'm saying.
All right. So we voting right now. America's team. Who you voting for?
I feel like for my time life, I feel like the most appropriate team would be the Patriots. One, because, I mean, you look at their colors. You got red. You got blue. Kind of like silver, white, whatever. But they have the colors of the flag. Patriots. And they're successful. I'd rather have the Patriots as a representation. And you know what? Even with their cheating, because I feel like that's more of a true representation of America.
So, Connie, you still going with the Cowboys as America's team?
I really don't care.
That's my opinion.
It doesn't matter.
I'm going to tell y'all straight up, I'm not voting. I'm with Cap. So, I'm just going to leave it at that. Because I can't stand the Patriots either.
At that point, I'm not going.
Why not go with the Niners?
I'm a Broncos.
Because he's not with the Niners.
I'm a Broncos fan.
It was a joke.
Hey, we won 3 championships. We're up there.
Why not go with Denver?
Not America's team. We're Colorado's team. We're the Mountains team. That's about it. Like we ain't nothing beyond that. But we got our 3 championships. We happy. We content. But quick topics, just some things for us to touch on. Rafael Nadal won his 12th French Open over the weekend, 18th Grand Slam. Sakani, you said no one's won more than 8.
Nobody else has won more than 8 French Opens. Roland Garros. person who won eight before Rafael Nadal was Bjorn Borg. And he's considered the best clay player of all time before Nadal came around. And his record at the French Open, I saw, was, I think, 93-2. Mm-hmm. 93-2 at the French Open.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Rafael Nadal is one of those who has been the truth over time. And it's wild that he still plays at such a high level. I mean, I remember seeing all of his, you know, matchups against Federer have been, you know, ones for the ages. So it's still crazy just to see him playing at such a high level when it seems like he's been in the sport of tennis for so long already. So it's like, dude, when are you going to go away? But for some reason, he still sticks around. So yeah, shout out Rafael Nadal there.
But I gotta go. Unfortunately, I do. I'm. It's been good kicking it with y'all. Appreciate y'all. Have a good rest of the night.
All right,
dog.
Oh, also, I was thinking about my big three.
Yeah.
I only mentioned Tim Duncan, so I feel like that shouldn't even count.
It's no longer the big three because it was only Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
A supporting cast.
I would probably go with the Bulls. That's my favorite team. I'm gonna go with
Horace Grant or Dennis Rodman.
I'm gonna go Horace Grant. Those years, that right. First right.
I could rock with
not that. Nothing against the post retirement MJ, because he was the the MJ who I really got to watch and see as a kid play.
Yeah, that real flu game MJ.
Exactly.
He just had that.
All right, y'all. All right, love y'all. Be safe.
Love you, brother.
All right, dog.
The Washington Nationals hit four straight home runs last week against the Padres, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't look into it, but was it the same pitcher?
It was.
Really?
I actually watched the clip. Now, maybe I'm mistaken, because a lot of people of the same nationality looked the same to me, especially when you got on a uniform. But it looked like the same exact pitcher for all four hitters.
I'm going to have to go back through that box score.
And I want to say three of those home runs, it might have been the last three, they went over the same outfielder's head. Like it was either the last two or the last three went right over the middle outfielder's head, just right over him.
Wow.
It was just like, it was crazy to watch. Like, yeah. When you think about it, because I looked and I saw the headline, Washington Nationals make history four consecutive homers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but I asked myself, what do you mean?
Yeah. Like what show
do you mean?
Me.
Yeah, like, what do you mean four consecutive homers? Like, what? They were actually losing that game.
Mm-hmm.
Four consecutive hitters step up to the plate. All four hit home runs. They take the lead and they win the game.
And that's only the ninth time in Major League history.
And for me personally, I thought that was shocking. I mean, you think about how long baseball's been around, how many games they play per year.
Yeah.
You know, somebody had to do it. But you think that's happened nine times where four consecutive players. When you put the ratio in, it has to be less than 1%.
Yeah.
So it's not a lot, but still, this has happened nine times.
That's insane. That's insane. And I feel for that pitcher, because I know there are some situations, let's say if that pitcher isn't struggling yet, you're not going to have someone warming up in the bullpen.
Right.
So it's like, okay, it's going to be this next batter. He's going to get back on track, home run, back on track, home run, back on track, home run. By the second or the third one, now you got the dude warming up in the bullpen. It's like, okay, he can get through one more batter, and then they hit that four straight.
I really don't recall them pulling that pitcher, and when I look at the video, it looked like the same pitcher for all four hitters.
Man, that's wild. I mean, just to be a part of, you know, for that pitcher being a part of infamy now, like you're one of the nine or more pitchers, depending on, you know, how, you know, substitutions lasted. Like, you're one of the select pitchers that, you know, played a part in giving up four straight home runs.
And it led to a loss.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, at that point, the whole team's going crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, okay, we were down by four or more.
Right.
You know, we just hit these four straight home runs. Oh yeah, it's a wrap. Like, you're not beating us.
Yeah, you just killed the whole spirit of your own team.
Exactly.
Because you're looking at your manager like, why you ain't pull him after the third?
Yeah.
Why did you let him get four?
All right. Yeah, because I mean, it's happened to some of the greatest where they give up, you know, back to back home runs. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, well, you know, you'll get through it. It's okay. But when you give up a third one, you give up a fourth one, like, yeah, that's rough.
It's like, could you imagine a quarterback throwing four consecutive interceptions on four consecutive drives?
And some I feel like that
dude
close.
I feel like the dude from the Bills might have did that.
Nathan Peterman was close. Nathan Peterman threw. Because he threw five in one half.
Yeah, but I can't remember if they weren't drives.
Consecutive. But there have been a couple quarterbacks in history, and I can't think of who they were, but I remember seeing the stat show up. Some that have thrown like multiple pick sixes on consecutive drives, mm-hmm. or one that threw a pick six, next drive, next play, pick six. I can't remember who it was though. But things like that have happened, but not a yo, like four straight interceptions, like consecutive drives, consecutive passes, like, yeah.
And he stayed in the game, like what? And yeah. You know, I remember
Nathan Peterman, he has to be the closest one. Yeah.
And I remember a guy, I can't remember the exact running back, but I remember it was with the Jets, because this was when Brett Favre played for the Jets at that mm-hmm. time.
Yeah, like 08, 09?
Yeah, around that time. He threw three interceptions, and a running back came out and said, all I'm saying is, if I fumble three times, I'm being pulled.
If you fumble once, most of the time you're pulled. He was like, unless you're a top tier running back.
Right. He said, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm not saying what should have happened. I'm not saying it's his fault. All I'm saying is, I can't fumble the ball three times and stay in the game.
Quarterbacks are spoiled, though. Most of them aren't going to get pulled unless it's a Nathan Peterman situation or you're a lower level quarterback like a Jameis Winston, and mm-hmm. you throw three picks, you're coming out because we got Ryan Fitzpatrick behind you.
Exactly.
But if Brett Favre, nah, that's just who he is. So you just let him do it.
He just adding to the record.
Yeah, exactly. Another unstoppable record. Yeah. So shout out the Washington Nationals, making history. Pretty wild to see that, especially nowadays. Just crazy to see overall. Speaking of history. The U.S. women's soccer team. If you would have seen this score, you would have thought it was maybe like a low-scoring football game. But they beat Thailand in the Women's World Cup in the first round 13-0. 13-0. And I kind of saw some articles that came up over the past couple days where some people were a little upset with how the team was celebrating mm-hmm. their goals. You score 13 goals. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to celebrate. It's just like when you're playing in basketball, let's say you're blowing a team out and then you clear the bench starts coming in, they start hitting threes. You're hyped because it's like, yo, hey, but like 13 goals, I'm sorry, I got to celebrate that.
Now, this is something completely different from what we spoke about earlier with Toronto. Celebrations are a part of the game. It just depends on what you're celebrating.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with celebrating a blowout.
Yeah.
Especially, like, who are we playing? When are we playing them?
Mm-hmm.
If this is the U.S. women's soccer team versus Bullard High School, I got a problem with you celebrating.
Yeah.
You're supposed to do that. These are two of, like, this is your best.
Yeah.
And this is our best.
Our best is just better than your best.
We just beat y'all.
Significantly.
Badly.
Yeah.
And in soccer, it's not easy to score goals, let alone 13 while shutting out the opposing team.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of anything like that.
Literally lights out.
Yeah, it appeared to be, from my knowledge, it appears to be historic. I've never known for a soccer game to be that wide of a margin.
Yeah.
Especially in a professional level. So I don't mind the celebrations. I don't feel like there's anything wrong with that. You know, I mean, I didn't see the exact celebrations. I don't know how tasteless they were. I mean, were they spanking each other? Were they riding each other
honestly,
like horses?
It wasn't anything like, that bad. I'd have to go back and kind of see the video and watch every mm-hmm. goal and every celebration. Because
right.
as the goals increase, that's when the celebrations kind of increase.
Yeah, it's like, wait a minute, look at what we doing.
Yo, this is insane.
Yeah.
Like, we were already up 6-0. Like, I was happy with that. But now 7, now 8, now 10, now 11, 12, 12, 13. Like,
and sometimes adrenaline takes you places as an athlete. You don't know. I remember when we played in a game at the Boys and Girls Club. No, it's no comparison. It wasn't a professional game. But I was standing maybe 5 feet in front of the half court line. We were inbounding the ball from under the basket. Nobody was guarding me. I put my hand up. I believe it was Brandon who threw me the ball. I was wide open. Yes, I was deep, but I was wide open.
Yeah.
One step dribble forward, set shot, took it, made it.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw it go in, I don't feel like I chose to turn around and start running and waving my arms in the air. It's just what happened.
Yeah.
So if I made 13 of those, ain't no telling what I'm gonna do.
Right. And I mean, I'm always of the essence that if you can't get upset about celebrations, you know what I mean? Like, if you have a problem with it, especially if you're on that opposing team, you have an opportunity to stop them.
Exactly.
And you either A, can't, you know, or you aren't giving enough effort. So, like, the whole issue with, you know, Cam Newton, you know, dabbing during his MVP season and stuff, I had no problem with it. You know, the Broncos shut him up.
Yeah.
He didn't dab in the Super Bowl.
Not at all.
So that's what teams could have been doing all season. So I got no problem with that. I think that's one of those unwritten rules. And I feel like we need to have an episode on this as well, talking about, like, unwritten rules. This is one of those that kind of irks me.
Walking over people on the floor. Definitely an unwritten rule.
And to me, it is disrespect, but I'm here for it at the same time. Like, does that kind of make sense? Like,
yeah,
but we'll have to get into it on another episode. There's a lot of things, especially in the sports of, like, hockey and soccer, baseball, things that they allow that they don't allow in the NBA, or it's an unwritten rule to not do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not here for it. But we'll have to bring that up on another episode, because I got something for y'all on that. That's going to be real interesting. So, yeah, shout out the U.S. women's soccer team. Historic win, you know, looking like they're on track to defend their World Cup title there as well. Last thing we got for y'all, poll question. So if you guys remember last week, I know we had a couple poll questions coming out, but the first one that we had last week was on the Anthony Davis trade. So if you guys remember, we had 3 trades up there available for you, basically 3 mock offers. So we had the Lakers offer, we had the Knicks offer, and the Celtics offer. So we got a couple of responses from some people. We had Malachi that actually said that the Lakers offer should have been selected, which was, so it was, yeah, number 4 pick, Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, Mo Wagner, and a 2021 first round pick. So Malachi selected that one. Justin Caldwell, I believe, said, because the original offer was for the Celtics was a 14th pick, 22nd pick, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. His response was that instead of Jaylen Brown, swap Terry Rozier if Kyrie is gone, and if Gordon Hayward ends up being the old Gordon Hayward, then he might rather include Terry Rozier in that trade instead under those circumstances, which I can understand. I mean, I went with the Celtics offer straight up,
right?
You know, because I think that's the best offer for the Pelicans, period. But yeah, no, I can't disagree. And speaking of Kyrie, some news there. I don't know if you saw that he actually split ties with his agent.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, so he split ties with his agent, and guess who he's expected to sign with?
Don't say Rich Paul.
Nah, not Rich Paul. Close, though. Rock Nation Sports.
Okay, yeah. I feel like it. Nowadays it has to be between the two of them.
Yeah, so, I mean, is it even breaking news that he's likely headed to Brooklyn? I mean, I'm pretty sure that's got to be set in stone now.
I think that solidifies it.
Yeah.
That has to solidify it. I wonder why, as an agent or as a basketball player, what makes you like one more than the other, especially if you're Kyrie Irving, because you've gotten you've gotten here because of your basketball talent, but also because of the work of that agent. He's done something. He's gotten you some kind of a deal.
Yeah, that's been his agent since he came into the league.
Yeah, so why? Like, you think I can't negotiate a better deal in Brooklyn than Jay-Z can? Why? He doesn't even own a part of that team anymore.
Right. Like, I think it's Rock Nation Sports, you know, New York metropolitan area, who can, you know, project me out to that media better than Rock Nation Sports? Rich Paul, probably.
The guy who projected your value and worth while you were in Cleveland. yeah. of all places.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. But no, I definitely feel like, okay, he's going to Brooklyn now. I don't really understand why he would want to do so.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he's putting himself in the same exact position that he put himself in. Well, not necessarily put himself in because he didn't choose to go to Boston. He was traded there. But it's a little worse because you have the veteran presence of someone like an Al Horford.
Mm-hmm.
You do have a Marcus Morris who's been in the league for a while. Marcus Smart who's been in the league for a while. You know, Gordon Hayward who had been in the league for a while. You know, definitely a veteran. When I look at the Nets, it's not that they don't have veteran players. They just don't have any veteran players that I look at and hold in a high regard. Like, what veteran all-star do they have?
Yeah, there was a sports analyst, I forget who it was, that made a pretty good point that stuck with me, is that really the Nets are just like the Celtics light, you know what I mean?
They're worse Celtic option.
That's really what they are. The only benefit, you know, for Brooklyn as opposed to Boston is those players, because they're not the caliber of Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, there's a little less attitude there.
Okay,
who are you? You're not Jason Tatum, you know, who looked like they could be one of the premier, you know, players in the league. You're not Jaylen Brown, who's well-respected in 3 years already in the league. You're not Terry Rozier, who looks like, you know, he could be an up-and-coming starting point guard. You're not Marcus Smart. You're not Gordon Hayward. You're not Al Horford. So he could go over there and run it. But why would you want to leave? I understand wanting to leave the Celtics. If it's not a fit, it's not a fit.
Mm-hmm.
But why? Why Brooklyn? There's no guarantee that D'Angelo Russell will not be there.
I was going to ask you that. If you're Brooklyn, do you bring back D'Angelo Russell if you know Kyrie is coming? Do you create that backcourt? Because how does that work?
I think, and the way that the Nets are making moves, because they traded Allen Crabbe too. They traded Allen Crabbe to the Hawks
for
and got Torian Prince back. And I think they gave a draft pick.
They gave away two first round picks.
Yeah, just to clear cap space. So now they have two max slots. So they're moving like they know something, like they have an inkling. But who's that second player? Are you looking at a Jimmy Butler?
Who are you? Most likely will be offered a max by Philly.
Right.
So it might not be as easy to pry him away as you probably thought at one point. KD with his Achilles can't play next year.
Yeah.
So
I'm wondering if they even made the move thinking that it was going to be KD. It did just happen to be right before he tore his Achilles.
I think so. Because when you hear about Kyrie and KD pairing with the New York Knicks,
mm-hmm.
and you're the Brooklyn Nets, you're in New York,
yeah,
you're a better franchise now.
Right. Closer to contending.
Right, and you can create enough space for the two of them. Yeah, I'm saying, two of y'all can come here.
Yeah.
Like, come here. And I did see the video
mm-hmm.
of Kyrie and KD, I think it was All-Star Weekend.
Oh, like in the tunnel?
Yeah, I mean, it was clear. They got two spots. Yeah. They got two. Like, it's right there.
Yeah.
Well, was that KD or was that AD?
No, that was KD.
Because
KD and Kyrie, they have their little bromance. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
So, yeah, so it was right there. Like, you saw it. But I don't know, man. I don't know about Kyrie in Brooklyn. I really don't. I don't think that's gonna work. I don't like it.
I'm not the biggest fan of him, and mind you, obviously once free agency comes around, you know, everyone kind of follows that trend. They follow, you know, what looks like it's gonna be the next up and coming team or the next, you know, super team, and that's where all those mid-level exceptions and people that are mid-level talent that want to take a minimum deal just to play there. So I don't know if that would happen if, you know, KD and Kyrie did pair in Brooklyn and all of a sudden they fill their roster out with dudes like, you know, I don't know, let's just say hypothetically Al Horford, for lack of a better player, mm-hmm. was, you know, one of those talents. He could probably command $15 million, but he says, no, I'll take the mid-level exception to go to Brooklyn. You know, those kind of situations come up once the makings of a super team is in place.
Yes, true. I mean, if I could see another respectable veteran another star, semi-star veteran in Brooklyn with Kyrie. It might make me feel a little bit different about it, but when I think about Brooklyn, I think about D'Angelo Russell. I think about Jared Allen. I think about Spencer Dinwiddie.
Yeah.
And I just don't see
Joe Harris. Yeah, Joe Harris. Well, Caris LeVert.
I just don't see Kyrie being a positive.
Yeah.
For that team. Of course you make them better. You're a more talented player than anybody that I name. So you make them more talented. But I just don't know how much better they are as a basketball team.
And on top of that, I don't know much about their coach, Kenny Atchison, I believe his name is. He's great managing this team because there are very little egos, I guess you can say. They're young players. They're trying to make their way in the league still. But once you get, you know, the cream of the crop, two top five, top 10 players in the league, a champion, two champions, like you said,
it can be a little different.
Yeah, not everyone's built for that. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I don't know why Brooklyn is such a hot spot for him. But if you're set on going to New York, go to Brooklyn over the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks, only thing the Knicks have going for them is Madison Square Garden, you know, Mecca basketball. It's all history, exactly. But if that history isn't going to be part of my present or lead to a championship in my future,
no,
forget
point.
It. Forget the history. You can go make history in the Barclays Center.
Yeah, those aren't my banners. Those aren't my jerseys. Those aren't my trophies. Yeah. And with the way the team is constructed now, me being on this team doesn't get me a banner, my jersey up there, or another trophy.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yes, between the two, I definitely think Brooklyn would be a better fit. But I just don't like it.
Yeah.
If those are the only two options, yeah, but I just don't like it.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a weird fit.
Honestly, I would rather see Kyrie go play with the Clippers than those two teams.
Because
I feel like those veterans of a Pat Beverly, I'm not having it. Montrezl Harrell, I'm not having it. Okay. Doc Rivers, I'm not having it. I feel like that would be far better in terms of managing maybe Kyrie Irving's leadership flaws. Mm-hmm. I feel like the Clippers might be a better atmosphere for him. It might be a little weird with him playing in the same arena as LeBron James and being so close, that might be a little weird. But sometimes I feel like their relationship is overblown a little bit. Just because I called and I told you, bro, I understand where you were coming from when I played with you, doesn't mean that I want to play with you again. Now, I still want to prove that I can be you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I now understand that it's harder to be you than I thought.
Right. It's just lesson learned, not, hey, I want to come back and, you know, rekindle what we had.
Right.
It's just like, you move forward. Like, same thing you would do with an ex. Like, okay, I learned, hey, maybe I could have done this differently, but not take me back. Let's get back together. Like,
right. That's
just,
hey,
just
difference.
So you know, I've grown from what we went through. I just wanted to let you know, like, you had a point.
Right. He never said that he didn't like his role as the leader. Yeah. He just said, I understand what it's like to deal with the same thing that I put you through.
Yeah, and he did.
I now see it from your perspective.
And he did it at a much younger age.
Exactly.
As well.
Now, you know, it's a complete difference between that and, well, now that I'm getting to see what it's like to manage those egos from a leadership standpoint, I realize that I would rather just be one of those egos. Those are two completely different things.
Yeah.
So I don't see him going back there, because I know that's been discussed as well. But between the two New York options, I think Brooklyn would be better. If we're looking at all free agent landing spots, I think for Kyrie, the Clippers might be a little better than either New York team.
Yeah.
All right, what we got for the poll? Should we keep the Cowboys?
Should we keep the Cowboys as America's team? Yes
or
no?
Or vote.
All right, so that's the poll question. Should we vote for a new America's team? Yes or no? If you don't know, the Cowboys are considered America's team, like we said in the earlier segment. So should we vote for a new America's team? Yes or no? That's going to be posted on Facebook. It's going to be posted on Instagram as well. Like we always say, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Fan Culture Pod, Facebook, Fan Culture Podcast as well. Just definitely tune in to all the videos and stuff that we have. All the episodes that we have. Make sure to tune into those. We definitely appreciate all your support. If you miss some episodes, you know, go back and listen to those. We're on Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Apple Podcasts, all that good stuff. Anywhere you like to listen to podcasts, we are there. Carl, you got anything else?
That's a wrap.
It's a wrap. All right. Till next time, y'all. Peace.
Peace.